Hey, Warriors, and welcome back to another episode of Warrior Within. I do hope you had a great week. Mine has been okay. Still battling allergies. Like we visited a doctor, and she basically said you got last year and this year's pollen coming in. So I mean, it's been up and down. I've had good days and bad days, but today is one of those days where it's kind of in between. So it's not as bad as it could be. So if I have coughing spells or my throat feels a little coarse, it's from coughing quite a bit, even though I'm drinking lots of water and I'm doing some nasal, the salt nasal stuff to try to clear out my sinuses is still there. So yeah, anyway, so you could pray for us. We do have our follow-up this next Wednesday, cause we had our blood work, and then we'll see what she wants to do. And hopefully be on a direction to really get better, that, you know, from a lot of things that we do have problems with. Anyway, so this week, now I heard a pastor talk about, and he made the statement is, if we do not lead, Satan will. And a lot of times then we focus on, you know, the idea of leadership or being a leader. And I'm titling this, if we don't step up, Satan will. It's important for us to lead. I mean, there is no doubt, men, we are supposed to be leading. We're supposed to be leading our families. We're supposed to be leaders in our church, even at our jobs. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to be in a managing position, but we should be taking the outlook of walking with the Lord in how we present ourselves in this culture. Because remember, we're supposed to be the salt and light. But as men, leading our family, and you know, we've talked about this, is being alert, you know, staying firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, and do it all in love. And it's to have the full armor of God every day, understanding that we are in a constant battle with the spiritual world, and there is attacks. The thing we have to understand when we're talking about like the battles that we deal with is we don't have the capability of winning those fights. God does. What we're supposed to do is walk in the way that we're supposed to in obedience, because there's going to be times the battle will be seen and real to us, and we will have to, in some ways, battle. But he fights those fights. We are just supposed to do what we're supposed to be doing. My biggest example, and I still use it, is when the last 6 months of my time there, when God said, I will fight your battle, you minister. You just keep ministering to the people in your life. And I did that. Trust me, there was times I wanted to take out my sword and start swinging back at what people were doing. But God kept saying, I got your battle. You just keep ministering to those that you're ministering. And so I did. You see, the idea is that stepping up is hard to do. It is a challenge. But if you're doing as we continue to talk about over and over again, there is a start of understanding where it comes from. Because he's asking us to step up in every aspect in our life. And we're supposed to be walking with him. We're supposed to be humble. We're supposed to walk in righteousness. We're supposed to be in obedience. And when we're not, Satan will step up. Satan will get in the way. Satan will get involved. Satan will terrorize and cause issues and struggles in your life. And he will attack people in your life. He will actually go after those that are around us, because hurting other people is a capability of being able to hurt us. Like in ways, what people go through can make us more vulnerable to allow ourselves to put our defenses down. If you're a dad, you know, your kids. Husbands, your wives. Even your pets. Your finances. Your job. Your church. Your vehicle. Things that you know that are important to your life, you know, they can intervene and cause issues. Because the thing is, Satan will intrude in every aspect of our lives if we put our guard down. We give him that free reign because we do not try to walk with the Lord. He will create havoc. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 11 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Now, that does not make you mini gods. That does not mean that you get supernatural powers. What it means is that it's kind of like uplifting you or honoring you because you're willing to humble yourself. Verse 7 says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. That, like, the idea of that is you're removing the understand. Well, actually, it helps you better understand what faith is. Faith is you are giving all your problems to him, and you're trusting him for the outcome that will come from it. It's really that simple. Be sober-minded, clear-minded, not... Some people, hold on a second, I gotta cough. It's basically sober-minded. So basically, and you're clear-minded of anything else that could corrupt your mindset so that you don't see or deal with your issues or deal with your life in the way that you should. Sometimes we kind of see it when a parent gets really mad at their child and they overly get mad, and later on you go and apologize. Well, when you're feeling that desire that you should be apologizing to your kid, but in your mind you're like, no, I'm the adult. They just need to respect me. That's pride. You need to be careful with that. And that doesn't, it's not just parenting. It could be anything. You getting mad at your wife, getting mad at somebody. We have to be sober-minded. And that means if we're sober-minded, there has to be some format by which we stand on for a truth to understand what that sober-minded means, which is God's word. Then it says, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. Like, Satan's going to come and do things that are going to try. He's going to try to rile you up. He's going to try to press those buttons. He's going to try to push people to come at you. He can't make them, but he can entice them. I mean, just remember, just like he did with Eve. Verse 9. Well, hold on. He's seeking someone to devour. So he's looking. He's looking for those weak moments. He's looking for those weak opportunities that he can come in and just destroy. Verse 9, resist him, firm in your faith. Think about that, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. This is one of the main things that we talk about. Everybody has their own battles, but everybody's battling the battles. And we should be there for them, right? Because we recognize that, hey, this is what I learned, and I've been in that struggle. This is what the Lord showed me what to do. And you know, whoever's struggling hears it, you accept it. And now you try to apply that to your life, and you can ask that person or those people, you know, what should I do here? They give you advice. You're taking wisdom of what other people have gone through and what God has taught them. And you're applying it to your life, which is making you wise. Not taking what you're supposed to be taking and still continue to do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, but you haven't created a different result because you're still doing exactly the same thing. That's what a fool does. Because they hear the wisdom, but still do what they want. And then they have a bad response, a bad situation happen, and then they come back looking, I don't understand. You know, this is what I'm going through. I'm struggling. And then you look at them, you give them the same wisdom again, and they take it. They do exactly the same thing they did before and come back like it happened again. Everything didn't work out. And you kind of look at them as like, did you do what I said? Oh, no, I did what I wanted. And you're just like, oh, I can't imagine what God does every time he sees that. It has to be a struggle. Verse 10, after you have suffered a little while, God will, you know, of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you, and be the dominion forever and ever. Him is not us. Him is God, Jesus. So to Jesus be the dominion forever and ever. Because we have established ourselves to be humble, God will basically honor us. We do get to be in heaven with him. He can restore. That doesn't necessarily mean completely healed. Does not mean you get, you know, you're suddenly rich. It does not mean that everything suddenly is just hunky dory and there's no problems. However, there is blessings and that, and it can be possible. So you could have complete healing. You could somehow you get all this money. It could be you're restored. So like you lost everything and then suddenly like things get to, you know, because you honored him, things get restored in a different way. Best example in scripture is Job. We could sit there and we could go through the whole thing, but at the end, after all the crap that he went through, because he honored God, because he obeyed God, because he followed God, because he had faith in God, because he did God's will, God restored unto him the money he did have and new kids, because technically his other kids were killed. He gained his gained animals back. He gained, you know, everything that he had once had, lost, regained. It does not necessarily mean he got everything the same way, because it's not. But God restored him because of his honoring. This is not a faith that to claim it. This is not a word of faith. This is just what God can do and is possible. However, that's not the expectation. Having faith in God is not expecting to get something back from him all the time. Because sometimes you need to go through those valleys, those challenges for a long period of time to teach, to grow you, to strengthen your faith, to better understand trust, because he's having you being prepared for something else. Whether it's moving because your current job, you feel like you're kind of getting kicked out, and then God's kind of opening up this other job, but you live in California and God's sending you all the way to Virginia. You know, in your mind's like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to leave. Guys, I had to leave my home state that I love very much, Colorado, because I did it in obedience. But doesn't mean God can't send me somewhere, which out here in Georgia reminds me of a little bit of Colorado and also reminds me of what I loved up in upper state New York. It's almost like I got a restoration of some kind, but in a different state. Only thing I wish now is no allergies, but they're there. So the thing is, guys, Satan is prowling. His demons are searching, and they're looking for Christians that are trying to stay strong because they need to break them. And if we aren't careful and we're not walking with the Lord, we're going to be walking with the world. And I'm talking like the cultural world that we live in. And the demons and Satan and them will spoil you. Just like, you know, sometimes a parent, we spoil a child. They will gladly spoil you. Because the more and more they can make you be away from any chance of returning back to God, they'll take that advantage. In battle, men have planned out strategies like no other. We can look up history of all these amazing generals and all the plan out plans that they had. But the thing is, many good generals can never be predicted, but doesn't mean they can't always predict what the opposing side's going to do. This is why keeping up guard, having understanding of the position that you've been placed in, being a parent, being a husband, being an elder in your church, being a manager at your job, being not a manager at your job, driving your car, following the laws and the rules of the land, doing what you're supposed to do, paying your taxes, all that stuff is you being placed into the position of responsibility. And this is why we have to be careful. You know, generals pre-planned what was going to go on in a battle in their heads. However, they did use whatever their spies gave them, whatever intel they got, and they used also what they believe the other general's methodology is in battle to try to counter. like in the Civil War, one of my favorite stories, I can never remember the generals involved, but the Union soldiers had this like hillside and they outnumbered the Confederacy in this situation, I think probably 2-1. And the Confederate soldier, our general, seeing that, you know, his reinforcements weren't going to be there, I think it was like a day, like he had to wait a day before they'd be there, and there would be no way they're going to be able to hold position, because as soon as the Union saw that they outnumbered, they would just push down and push him out. So what he did was he had the men line up in a certain number, and he had them march, and then he had them run and go all the way back, and he separated them into 3 points, like 3 groups. So the first group would come in, and then they would hurry up and run all the way back, get to the back line as the second group is coming up the hill, so that as they're through, so whatever they saw in the spyglass to see what was going on, they thought they saw a bunch of soldiers coming. So the Union actually pulled back their ranks and tightened up in another position, which then allowed that small group of Confederacies to push forward and hold that position until the reinforcements got there. You see, that general on the Union side knew, you know, he had this battle plan, but his enemy fooled him, deceived them. And that's the thing, is Satan is a master of deceiving. And even though we have a strong foundation in our walk, even though we spend time in his word, even though we pray, even though we go to church, even though we seek out wisdom, even though we have brothers in arms that we can pray with and seek out help and get the understanding, it does not mean we can't be fooled. And the enemy knows that any advantage that they can gain, they will go for it. And when we're not following God, the only other influence that we can follow is the father of the world, Satan. The philosophies and ideologies that he puts out there for us to want to cater to, because, hey, it looks like it kind of feeds me. It makes me feel like I'm more spiritual. It makes me better as a man. But those are influences of the world. But it makes me feel like a man. But those are influences of the world. Is that really what man is supposed to be like? You see, in John 8, 44 through 47, it says, "You are the father. Wait, you are of your father, the devil. Your will is to do your father's desires. He was murdered from the beginning, a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out his own character, for he is a liar, the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you're not of God." You see, this is why I always tell you, you need to study God's word. Because the only way for you to understand God and understand his words and hearing the truth is because you are studying his word. And anything else outside of God's word is not going to match up into the truth. It's very scary to think about this. And he was talking to the Jews that were listening to him because they were doubting him, because they wanted to accuse him of him being a heretic, that he was speaking against Moses, blah, blah, is because they looked at Moses and the way of Moses as their format of worship. They took their eyes off the truth into the standards and the ideologies of the teachings of Moses as their form of salvation, as their form of faith. And they began worshiping that over what Jesus was trying to show them. I fulfill those scriptures. But they couldn't see it, because they believe this ideology of the truth And so now they're being influenced by Satan more than by Jesus. And the thing is, how many of our Christian brothers and sisters worship the way of Christianity more than Jesus? I want you to think about that question. How many people today worship the way of Christianity more than Jesus? Because we see it in how, like, worship has changed. We've seen it how the idea of defining love is like it matches so close to the world's ideology of love. Worship has become an icon to which we worship more than we worship Jesus. We have churches who make so much money, but the focus is on the glory of the church, the name of the church, and in some cases, the pastor. Because you can't question Pastor so-and-so because they're anointed and they can't do wrong. No. I make mistakes. I make bad choices. I can hurt people in my life. Only Jesus was the only one who walked in truth and purity without sin. Only Jesus. We need to be very careful we're not worshiping the image of Christianity versus worshiping Jesus Christ as our Savior. We do need to step up, men. Take a quick break. I have mentioned to you guys many times, pray, study, obey. It is a circle to have an understanding of what it means to grow in our faith, to have understanding who God is, and to walk in truth. We pray because we believe that our conversation with God is a way for us to trust and have faith in who God is. We pray because we believe what the scriptures say. We study to learn his truth and will for us and our time here on earth. We study to build a relationship with God so we can believe his truth. Which then in turn, when we pray, we pray in belief of what we have studied. And obedience. Obedience is taking what we take and study and how we grow in our faith because of our relationship with God, because of the prayer time that we have. We live it. We apply it. We do what it asks us to do. Because you can't hold to all three of these perspectives, prayer, study, and obedience, if you don't do them. If you're not doing all three of those things, you can't expect your walk to be walking in uprightness. In fact, this is how another way Satan will take lead in your family, will take lead in your house, will take lead in your job, because you are not willing to take the time to pray, to study, and to obey. And in most cases, the obedience side is the hardest part because we're willing to listen and hear what we hear, but we don't necessarily want to do what we hear. And we don't apply what we hear to our lives because we don't want to change our lives. But I will tell you this, James 4, 7 through 10 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched, mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. We need to have a heart that is willing to be broken. We cannot hold on to the pride and expect God to use us today and step up as men of God if we're not willing to break. We need to be willing to break. We need to be willing to submit ourselves in humility towards God, his truth, his faith, the faith that we gain from understanding who he is because we study the scriptures. And we apply what we study into our lives and change our lives. This is why we talk about repentance so much, because it is important to be willing to be broken. See, the closer we get to God, the better we could see his truth. We could stay in righteousness, and we're not so easily tempted to do the wrong things. We can keep growing and learn more about God as we are tested through the struggles that we see. The struggles we go through isn't because we're necessarily failing in our walk. Sometimes the struggles need to be there. We need to go through those valleys because God is trying to prepare you, trying to get you somewhere, trying to strengthen your faith, trying to help you understand something in Scripture, trying to help you understand what it means when you're spending time with him in prayer, that, hey, you're trusting me with the will I have for you. It doesn't mean it's necessarily going to happen the way that you wanted, but hey, you are trusting me. Now believe that I am your Father. You believe that I am God Almighty. Believe that I am holy. And because you're willing to understand that these struggles are there, you must come in obedience and trust me no matter what. If I tell you to go through this, you will go through it, and I will be there with you. I will catch every tear. I will catch every struggle that you go through because you understand what it means to honor and love me first above everything else. It does not mean that at the end, suddenly everything's hunky-dory. It doesn't mean that you'll never have any other struggles after that. Sometimes, you know, there'll be times of blessings, and then there might be times of a little bit of struggle, and you need to remember what you've learned, and you need to follow in faith. You know, all the stuff that God has done for us in the past few years for my wife and I, we still struggle in our health. I would love our health to be perfectly okay, and I would love to lose all the weight that I want to lose. But if this is something that he's not going to ever give me as an answer to keep me humble, to keep me entrusting in him all the time, I may have to bear it. Or whatever my doctor actually sees and says, hey, I think we might have an answer for you. And it works. Praise God. But being humble, men. I've used these verses before, but it is the best defining understanding, and you should memorize it, and it should be a part of who you are. If you can't memorize, read it over at least once a week or once a month, and just remind yourself. It says in Philippians 2:3-8, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. You might have your own interests, like you got to take care of your family, you got to take care of your health, you got to take care of responsibilities of the house, you got to take care of financials. You still got to do it, but pay attention to the other people around you and what they're going through. Be mindful. Verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Jesus Christ. Verse 6, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. The goal for us is not to be equal to God. There is ideology that teaches that. Elevation Church, Pastor Steve Furtick, teaches that. Modalism. We need to be careful. The idea of what Jesus did was not for us to be an example to become God or one with God. This is what the emergent church was teaching. This is what progressive Christianity goes into. This is what New Ageism pushes into the church. That you and I can spiritually become one with God. That is not the point of what Jesus did to show us how to live. Continue verse 6. A thing to grasp. Verse 7. But emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. He was teaching us the understanding of how to live in obedience to God. That is what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to be chasing these ideologies and these other things that make it seem like if we do that, we'll be much closer to God. We'll be more one with God. We'll have more power. That, you know, the claim it to faith concept, where if you have enough faith, you know, God, you will get all this stuff. You will move mountains. You will heal people left and right. No, only the Holy Spirit heals. We do not have the power. We are not gods. We're not mini gods. We don't have the capability of doing something. Such things only the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit chooses to do those things, he does it because he wants people to find Jesus. Because remember, I think it was Peter and John, or it might have been Peter and James, where they went to town and they healed, you know, people. Well, they didn't heal, but the Holy Spirit did. But they healed people, and the people thought they were gods, and so they tried to start worshiping. And they said, "No, we didn't do this. This is." But we'll tell you who did. Jesus Christ. Paul, when he was bitten by the snake, a poisonous snake, and he was supposed to die, did not die. And they thought he was a god. And he said, "No, I am not, but I know who is." This is the understanding of what it means to be humble, is that we're supposed to be in obedience. We're not supposed to be conceited. It makes me go and think about how it is when we watch TV shows and movies. We have, you know, the sports guys are always considered like the probably the more conceited vanity type guys. You know, their bodies are, you know, built, their studs, they have the girl, they're strong, and they start picking on the smaller guys because they think that because they look strong, that makes them a man. Anybody else is weak. Because it makes me think of one of my favorite Disney cartoons, and that's before the crap, was Beauty and the Beast, my favorite. I always pictured myself more of like the Beast because of the struggles I've gone through in life, and then at the end, you know, understanding those struggles teach me. I know that's not something that people think about, but remember, Beast was awful, and he was cursed. And later on, as he understood and he grew and learned, it's very similar to what we have to go through before we're, quote, quote, the prince of the story. But I think of Gaston, and I remember, like, the lyrics. It says, "There's no man in town as mired as you. You're everyone's favorite guy. Everyone's a wed inspired by you, and it's not very hard to see why." And if you remember that cartoon, you remember those parts, it was all about him. His muscles, how strong he was, and the fights he would win, the drinking contests that he was good at. He was loved and admired by all the women who wanted to be with him. That man is not humility. A humble heart is one who's willing to give up everything for God. Because if you remember, Beast gave up his life to save his kingdom, to save the one woman he loved, and those that he loved in his kingdom. Remember? And because of that act, he was basically given life back and transformed, because the curse was finally broken. You see, the thing is, when we walk with the Lord, when we pray because we understand his truth and we want to live in his will for us, we want to become these leaders. We want to make a difference in our families. We want to be spiritual leaders of our family. We want to be recognized in our jobs because of our actions, not because of our vanity. You know, we want to be a husband who's loving, passionate, but also fierce and strong when he needs to be. This is why it's so important to understand what prayer, study, and obedience is. This is why you need to be doing that. Humility is being willing to surrender our flesh to the way of God, to the way of the Holy Spirit. The more we spend in his word, the less chance Satan and his demons will manipulate our perspective of God. And even as life gets hard, we understand God's will for us because we have been focusing on the truth found in Scripture. It's hard, guys. Even I struggle with this many times over, but it's something that I need to practice all the time. Our paths are not always going to be hunky-dory and happy because we're following God. We're not going to not have struggles. We're not going to have hardships that just seem like they never end. They're just a part of how God tests us and trains us to prepare us for whatever is coming ahead. I mean, in my mind, when I heard that a long time ago, or like a few years back, I was like, I mean, continually struggling in the struggle that I'm in and have even a worse struggle later on. I'm hoping not, but it has helped me to better understand what it means that God's will doesn't necessarily mean always good stuff. And yet God has blessed us in such amazing ways because of that faith and that willingness to walk and being willing to obey. Because Satan will lead you. He will lead your family and all the aspects of your life if we do not step up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. I ask that you just work in me, work in the men that are listening, even the women that might be listening, that you would help them to recognize the need to put you first in their life. It is so important to understand what it means to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. It's surrendering it all. Giving it all to your will, Lord, allowing you to be king of their lives and stop holding on and trying to keep on controlling every aspect of their life. Help them to understand the cycle of praying, studying, and obedience is a big circle that just keeps going around and around, and it's a connection. And if we're not doing all three of those parts, we're not going to see that growth. And it's going to be easier for the enemy to start breaking in and twisting what we're thinking, how we process things, and how our mind works, and how our heart sees things, because it will get inside of them. The evil, the darkness, and it'll start polluting. That's why it's so important to understand that our faith is only stronger because we understand who God is. And we are willing to obey, we're willing to follow him, we're willing to seek out his will in every aspect of our lives. I pray today that men haven't repented, they start repenting of their sins and start renewing their walk with you, Lord. If there's men that are struggling and they spend time in God's word, but they are not necessarily obeying it, Lord, that you just give them the courage to obey. And they feel God's calling them to do something. That they not allow fear, like we talked about, the fear, the banner of fear, but they run with understanding that God has a plan and they're going to trust. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done and what you've been continue to do for my wife and I. And I will trust that you have a plan and things will come together for you, for your good and for your will. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, thank you so much. Once again, subscribe. If you want to give money to the ministry, you can go to Spotify, do it that way. Otherwise, just keep praying, keep seeking out God, keep walking with the Lord. Share my Facebook stuff when I do the podcast on there. Share these with other men. If this is impacting you, it may impact other men that you know of that may need something. And it's just God speaking. You know, I learn from what I've studied. And I take what I go through and I process that into my life, how God needs to be in my life. So, you know, thank you so much for the prayers, the love, the messages. I appreciate it all. Once again, if you want to be part of the Discord, get on the Facebook page. You can message me through there, or you can join the group and I can write it there. But once you do, you get involved. There's other men, you know, going through lots of different battles, going to lots of blessings, going to a lot of struggle, whatever it may be. But it's neat to see what God does with them. And I thank you all. God bless, and I'll see you next time.